you guys, Flickers of Fear time. I cannot believe it took me so goddamn long to get around to doing this movie. Holy shit. But yeah, anyway, anybody that knows me knows that I'm a pretty big fan of Jim Jarmusch. Not like a super fan or anything like that. You know, I haven't seen every single one of his movies, but I've seen like a good portion of them. And I'm like a really big fan of his kind of droll, philosophical, laid-back hangout type of movie vibe. Sometimes more successful than others. But because recently, well, not that recently, I guess it was like a couple years ago, but we did actually end up seeing The Dead Don't Die. And we actually saw that in the theater a couple of times, because I know a lot of people really didn't like that one because they kind of thought maybe the humor didn't work or something like that. For some reason, it just like fucking tickled me. I just like really, really liked it a lot. So I ended up seeing, like I said, a couple times in the theater. And, you know, seeing that as that was like Jim Jarmusch's take on the zombie genre, using zombies to like kind of sort of like portray like a larger message. So obviously, I knew that he had done a vampire movie back in 2013 called Only Lovers Left Alive. And I have had so many people like over the years recommend it to me. And like I said, I was like, I promise I'll get around to it. I'll promise that I'll get around to it. But since so finally, you know, it's on Amazon Prime. So I was like, okay, goddamn it, I'm just gonna like sit down and watch this fucking movie. And like I said, why the fuck did I wait so long to see this movie? Because this movie is delightful. I really, really liked it. I actually really liked this. I like this more than The Dead Don't Die, and I actually quite like the Dead Don't Die a lot. But this is kind of like a different vibe. This is not, if you've seen it, you know that this is not a horror movie. It's kind of more, even though it's about vampires, it's kind of more like a drama, black comedy, but it's very, very dry. Like I said, it's very philosophical. Like, it has kind of a lot to say about immortality, about different attitudes toward life, but it's not really, I mean, there's blood drinking and stuff in it, but it's not really like a horror movie. So don't go into it like thinking it's gonna be that. Cause like I said, if you know anything about Jim Jarmusch, he doesn't really, you know, make movies the way other people make them. So it's kind of like, you know, that you're gonna expect something unexpected, I guess, or you're gonna like, you know, even if he's taking a genre that, you know, like zombie movies or something like that, he's not going to do like the same shit with it that some normal person would do, is, you know what I'm saying? So what you have here is there are two vampires. They're a married couple, Adam and Eve. Now, Adam is played by Tom Hiddleston, although I believe that Michael Fassbender was originally supposed to play him, but then he ended up not being able to do it for whatever reason. So Tom Hiddleston took the role instead, and Tilda Swinton plays Eve. Now, these two, I don't think they ever say how old each of them are. The implication being that Eve apparently is much, much older than Adam, but Adam is at least like a few centuries old. I kind of more got the impression that Eve was maybe like 1,000 years old or maybe like a little bit older. So, but you know, it's not super important, but it is kind of important to the dynamic that Eve is like much older than Adam is, even though they're both quite old. There are also a couple of other characters. John Hurt is in this briefly. He plays, and I don't think this is, because like I said, this came out in 2013, and I don't think it's the kind of movie that you know, is like spoiler, like it's like, oh my God, why'd you tell me what happened? Because it's not all that plot driven. Like, stuff happens in it, but it's more, like I said, like a hangout movie, like a kind of character study, philosophical type movie. So it's not like, oh my God, there was this big like spoiler, like surprise that I spoiled for you or anything like that. So John Hurt is in it, and he actually plays Christopher Marlowe, which, if you know anything about, you know, English literature or anything like that, there is a theory going around, I don't know how I feel about it one way or the other, but that Christopher Marlowe was actually the guy that wrote all of Shakespeare's plays, which they actually do posit is true in this movie. So he's been around a long time too, and he's just kind of like, you know, Shakespeare was like a hack, and it's like, I got all the, you know, he got all the credit, and it's like, I was the one that did all the work and blah, blah, blah. So there's that whole issue. So basically what you have, Adam and Eve have been married a very long time, still very much in love. They don't live together most of the time. He was actually some kind of like legendary rock star at some point. You're led to believe maybe 50s, 60s, or maybe he's been a musician for a very long time, because they make a reference at some point in the movie that he had written, like, some of Schubert's stuff. Like, you know, I just gave him the Adagio and stuff like that. So he's been a musician for a long time, but he's apparently some kind of, like, reclusive rock star that was, like, super famous. Because at some points you kind of see, like, these sort of, like, rock and roll fanboys, like, kind of hanging, like, they've heard this rumor that he's, like, this reclusive, that he still lives in this place, and they're kind of, like, hanging around, like, you know, hoping to get a glimpse of him or whatever. But because he's a vampire and he's immortal, obviously, he kind of tries to stay out of the limelight. So he's been living in Detroit, in this neighborhood that's just basically kind of, like, empty. So he's been living in this kind of, like, empty building, and he's rigged up his own electricity from technology that he picked up from Nikola Tesla, who he knew in real life, because, like I said, he's been alive for hundreds of years. And he is very much, Adam's character is very much mired in the past. He likes to collect old musical instruments. He has a human sort of friend, I guess you would call it, or, you know, overseer, somebody like that. But I don't think his friend, whose name is Ian, he's played by the late Anton Yelchin, I don't think he knows that that Adam is a vampire, but he just knows that he's this reclusive rock star rich dude that gives him, like, big wads of cash to go and find things for him. So he brings him, like, all these guitars, and he, like, knows when all of them are from, and he seems to like to collect ones from the 60s, and all of the equipment, like, he has all this audio equipment in his house, and it's all old. He's a very analog type of dude, and even though he sort of has a computer, he has it sort of, like, rigged up where it goes, like, into, like, this really, really old, like, television set. Like, so he has this, all this stuff, like, rigged up. Like I said, he's a very analog type of dude. But he's also very much kind of like a tragic, romantic type of figure, where he basically thinks that humans have essentially destroyed the world. Humanity is circling the drain. You know, everything is terrible. So he's very much looking back to the past as kind of like a golden era, and he doesn't think it's going to come again. And so he's even got to a point now where, even though he still writes his music and he still seems to enjoy it, it's like it doesn't really seem to be enough to, like, get him to keep going. So at some point near the beginning of the movie, he actually gives a bunch of money to Ian, his friend, and said, I want one, a wooden bullet, like, with a brass casing, but he's like, you know, I want wooden inside, like, the hardest wood that you can, he just wants one of them. So, you know, you're led to believe that he's thinking about, you know, he's contemplating suicide because he can't really see that things are going to get any better. He doesn't really get any enjoyment out of life anymore. You know, he's been around for hundreds of years. He's kind of sick of it. He's over it and all this other kind of shit. Now, contrasted with that is his wife, Eve, who's played by Tilda Swinton. Now, she has been around a lot longer than him, so perhaps has more of, like, a long view or, like, a longer perspective on history. So she's seen things go into decline, but she's also seen things, like, come back, and she's seen, like, a lot more progress, I guess. She's seen a lot more history than he has. So she has a very kind of, like, zen, a more positive view. She's living in Tangier, and she seems to still find great joy in music and art and reading and things like that, particularly in books, because they show her many times, like, her whole house is just, like, stacks and stacks of books, and she can, like, speed read, so she reads everything very quickly. She can read every language, so, you know, and she seems to take great delight in reading and discovering new things. One thing I like too is that she seems very, even though she likes a lot of old things, she also, like, keeps up with the times. Like, she packs all these books, and it's like she has old ones, she has new ones, and that's, like, really cool, because she doesn't have the same thing that Adam has, where he's just kind of like, you know, oh, there's nothing's good anymore. You know what I mean? He's kind of like one of those grumpy, like, one of those grumpy, like, pessimistic, it's like, oh, everything sucks now, blah, blah, blah. He's one of those kind of guys. Whereas she's a lot more a lot more zen about it, where she's just kind of like, you know, history is cyclical, you know, things decline, but things also come back. There's always beautiful things through every time period. You just have to know where to find them. So she has a lot, I guess, a lot healthier attitude toward immortality than Adam does. But as I said, they're kind of like two sides of the same coin, and they complement each other. And even after however many hundred years they've been together, they're still like very, very much in love. So they have a discussion near the beginning. Like I said, she's in Tangier and he's in Detroit, and they talk to each other like she has like a like an iPhone and everything, and he has his rigged up like TV, this cranky old computer and stuff. And so they're talking to each other, and she begins to sense that maybe he's in a depressive episode, which she implies has happened before. So she says, "I'm going to fly out there and see you, and you know, and it'll be, I'll try and cheer you up," essentially. So she comes there. At that point, there's kind of like I said, why I call this like a hangout movie is just because for a lot of the movie, which I think is about 2 hours long, I wasn't really looking at the time, like I wasn't bored or anything, but it is like a languidly paced, let's call it that. But like I said, it's kind of like a hangout movie. So they kind of, you know, she comes to Detroit. She thinks it's, you know, even though obviously it's Detroit and there's like nobody around and everything's like ruins and everything, but she still finds a lot of beauty in it and like thinks it's delightful. And she's like just interested in everything. And he's just kind of like, he kind of is to an extent, but he's always more like, oh, well, you know, they tore this down and now it's this and it was so much better before. And it was like all this other kind of stuff. So there's a while where they're just kind of like talking, just being together to, you know, talking about philosophical stuff. He's very, very into science. He knew, like I said, Nikola Tesla. He knew Einstein. He knew, you know, a lot of, you know, scientists from the old days, like maybe Isaac Newton and stuff like that. I don't remember if he had that, if he knew him or not. But so he's very into that. So he's always kind of talking about different scientific theories. But again, that's another thing where he's, you know, reeled down like, you know, negativity, because he's like, you know, look at what they did to all the great scientists over the ages, you know, Galileo and Copernicus and everybody like that. They were just like persecuted, or, you know, or something like that. Or they're still bitching about Darwin, like he says at some point. So he's like, you know, look at what these humans, he calls humans zombies. He's like, look at what they've done to like their best and brightest. And it's just like, I don't think it's going to get any better. So into this situation where they're just kind of hanging out, and she kind of, Eve kind of twigs onto the fact that he has actually purchased a bullet, which he's contemplating using to commit suicide, and that upsets her a great deal. So into this comes Eve's sister, Ava. Now, Ava is essentially like the element of chaos that's introduced into the movie. She is also quite old, but she is essentially like the vampire party girl, right? It's like she just wants to go out all the time and like listen to bands and all this other kind of shit. Now, I should note too that Adam and Eve, even though they are vampires, they don't, it's implied that they don't attack and kill people anymore, because what Adam does is he just goes to the local hospital and he just has this doctor who's like a friend of his who he bribes to give him like fresh blood from the hospital. Whereas Eve in Tangier, she has Christopher Marlowe, played by John Hurt, who has a supplier, like, you know, a French doctor that can get them like really good blood. Because I think they're worried that, I think Adam more than Eve, that because the planet or humans are so polluted, that their blood is also polluted, and that it's better to just get it from like a hospital or like a reputable source. So they don't actually kill people and drink their blood. However, Ava seems more open to this possibility. Like I said, she's more like a party girl. She's almost like a drug addict, but like with blood, so she can't really like control her craving for it. So she turns up, and there's some implication that the last time she came to visit them, which was 87 years ago, I think they say in the film, that something really bad happened, although they never really, you know, go too much into what that was. So she comes there, she's very like kind of, you know, we need to go out, we need to do this, that, and the other. And so finally she gets them to go someplace, and it doesn't end up in a very good place. Like I said, I don't know if I want to spoil that aspect of the plot, but something bad happens. At which that she causes, at which point Adam is just like, yeah, no, she needs to get the fuck out of here. So there's that whole thing. So as the movie goes on, like I said, there comes a point where Adam can't really hide his location anymore, because all of these fans keep coming there, and he really doesn't want that because he wants to remain reclusive. So eventually they say, okay, we're just gonna leave everything, you're gonna leave all your shit here, and we're gonna go back to Tangier, because she's like, it's beautiful there, you used to love it. You know, it'll be like we're starting over. But then when they get back, there's another problem with their blood supply, you know, where it's coming from. And so they start to contemplate at the end of the film that they might actually have to start drinking blood from humans again, because their blood supply source is, you know, is running out. As I said, this is not a horror movie, but there was just something about the vibe of this movie. It's just like, I really, really loved. It's very, very gothic. It almost kind of like, you know, in the best possible sense, where it's almost kind of, it gave me the same kind of feeling that the, you know, the 1983 movie The Hunger gave me, where it's just kind of like, you just want to live in that world, because it's just this kind of like tragic romanticism type of vibe. And I really, really like vampire movies that are like that. I also like this one because, like I said, it's not a horror movie. It's not gory or anything like that. They do show them kind of drinking blood, but they just drink them out of the wine and everything. It's kind of like your classic, you know, proto Anne Rice type of thing, where, you know, he's super into like Edgar Allan Poe and all this other kind of stuff. And he's just like, oh, woe is me type of thing. But then she's kind of a lot more, you know, as I said, optimistic about it, optimistic about the future. It's like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, yeah, you know, things suck sometimes, but if, you know, things come back, I see things bounce back. And she even, you know, when she first comes to Detroit, he just sees it as this kind of, you know, ruin. But that's what he likes about it, is that everything is in the past and he just wants to wallow in the past. And she says, yes, but, you know, it will bounce back. It's coming back already. See, and she points out different things. So it's kind of like exploring the differences between people who are more invested in the past, and even if that past is not what happened, like it's kind of like looking back to some fictitious like golden era, and these types of people like in the modern day, like, you know, nowadays, like seem to be like really miserable because they always think, oh, it was better way back when, whenever way back when was. So they're kind of exploring the relationship between a person like that and a person who is maybe more, like I said, emotionally healthy, in the sense that they have like a longer view of history and they know that things will like bounce back even if, you know, things seem like they suck right now. And it's just interesting that he explored that theme through two characters who are vampires and who are immortal and who have literally been able to see all of these historical things happen because they were literally there. So he's using the trope of the vampire being immortal to sort of like explore the idea between different types of humans and different types of ways of looking at the past, the present, and the future, which I thought, like, the more I think about it, like, the more brilliant this movie fucking seems. Like I said, it's not, it has a plot in the sense that like things happen and the characters do change over the course of the movie, but it's not like a real plot driven narrative, you know what I mean? So don't go into it expecting that. It's more like a philosophical musings on humanity, you know, and different views of history, I guess, history progress, but seen through the eyes of beings who were actually there, so who maybe have a different perspective on it that a human would. And it's, you know, it's kind of like this really cool, I saw this one review of it where she was pointing out that Adam and Eve were kind of like were like yin yang, you know what I mean? And they just kind of like fit together perfectly, because even though they have very different ways of looking at the world and looking at the, you know, taking the long view of history and stuff, they still like complement one another and they're still very much in love with one another, which I thought was like a really cool exploration. There's also a really lot of great music in this. There's a lot of great like literary references if you're into that, which, you know, which I am, but it's done in a way that's not pretentious, because even though these two characters, you know, knew all of these literary figures, knew all these you know, classical musicians, knew all these writers, knew all of these people, and are really into it. They're not, like, snotty about it. Even Adam's character, who kind of looks down on humans, like I said, he calls them zombies and, like, you know, they're ruining everything type of thing. But even then, he doesn't come across as, like, a hipster douche or anything like that. He just comes across as kind of just, like, a sad, like, tragic figure because, you know, it's not kind of a case where he just thinks he's better or anything like that. So I think that it's good that the characters are just so likable, even though on paper it maybe seems like they wouldn't be, because it seems like, oh my God, they'd be, like, so insufferable and stuff. But they really don't come across that way. They come across like very genuine, you know, just likable characters. And this movie is also quite funny, like in that Jim Jarmusch, like, very dry kind of way, which I really dig that. You know, it's, I was just laughing at, like, just little shit, like her having, like, making blood popsicles and her being, like, all excited about it and stuff like that. It's not, like, zany or wacky. It's not even, I don't even know if I'd call it a comedy. It's sort of a dark comedy in the sense that there's funny stuff in it, but it's essentially, I'm not even sure what I'd call it. It's kind of like a drama, but I don't know. It's not even really that either, because that seems also kind of a reductive term. I guess most of Jim Jarmusch's movies are kind of hard to classify. So this is another one that's like that. It definitely has elements of drama. It has elements of, you know, horror even a little bit. It has elements of a comedy, but it's not really any of those things. And, like, trying to put it into one genre is really doing it a disservice. But yeah, this was like, I just really, really thought this movie was like, I don't know if fun is the exact word. I guess it sort of is. It is a fun movie. It's just kind of one of those lay back on a Saturday night and, like, kind of get some booze or whatever, smoke some weed or whatever, and just, like, chill out and, like, watch it and just be like, yeah, man, it's just like one of those kind of movies. Light some candles and shit. And it's like, and I really like those kind of movies. You have to be in the mood for them. But this one was definitely kind of ticked all boxes of, like, stuff that I really like. Because, like I said, I'm not a giant fan, I have to say, of vampire movies in general, especially, like, kind of newer ones, but even older ones. I'm just kind of like, vampire's not really my favorite monster, but I just like that they were vampires in this for a reason of exploring, you know, taking, like I said, looking at history and progress through the lens of people that were actually there, like looking into mortality, immortality. So saying things about humans by, you know, using the trope of immortal beings and not human. So I thought that was, like, actually really cool. So like I said, this came out in 2013. If you're into Jim Jarmusch and you haven't seen this one, this is definitely, I mean, he's got a lot of good ones, but man, this one was, like, really, really good. I really liked this a lot. It's just, like, the whole vibe of it, I just really dug it. And so yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's on Amazon Prime. I'm sure it's, you know, if you have an Amazon Prime subscription, you can watch it for free. I think you can watch it, like, you can rent it on YouTube and shit like that too, I'm sure. But yeah, you should definitely check it out if you like vampire movies, if you like these kind of, like, weird indie kind of stuff, because I feel like it took a really long time for this to get made, like, because he couldn't get financing. And I guess I was reading that it took him, like, 7 years before they got it made or something like that. And then finally, like, there was a German production company that gave him some of the money, and then, you know, so he finally got around to making it. But it seems like it got really, really good. I don't think I've seen a negative review of this, you know, because it's just, it, like I said, if you know what you're getting into, it's a really, really entertaining movie. And it's just, and Tilda Swinton and Tom Hiddleston, who's hot as shit in this, by the way, actually, I mean, they both are, but they really, like, play off each other really well. So, like, the acting is, like, really great. And it's, you know, it's just, like, a really fun, entertaining, just hangout type of movie, like, hang out with some weed and some light some candles and shit like that, that type of movie. But yeah, definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. And I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.